Well, hallelujah. How awesome it is to be in the presence of the Lord. How glorious it is to know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Well, I pray that you are celebrating this Memorial Day weekend with thanksgiving as you give glory and honor to God for all those who served Him or in behalf of our country, and that you are grateful for what God has provided in regards to this country and for all that He is doing in the midst of us. And I pray that you are able to give thanks to those who have served in your family and your friends and neighbors. Give someone a call and let them know you appreciate their service. Well, glory to God. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And how awesome it is to be in His presence. What a wonderful time of worship we have had. And we have experienced God's faithfulness over the past few weeks and even months. And how wonderful it is to know that He is with us. And we have been talking about having spiritual perception. And I pray that you can perceive the things of the Spirit, that you are able to discern what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing. And we know that it's easy to discern what's happening in the realm of darkness, what evil is going on. Evil is always at work, if the Bible says. In fact, where there's good, evil is always at work. And so our goal is to see what God is doing, to be able to perceive what God is doing. And that is what our focus is on. That is where we are looking and seeking God to lead us and guide us in that way, in that direction. It's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to experience and know and be aware of all the issues and problems in life. However, we are able to see and know what the Lord is saying and what He is doing. And so today I would like to share a little bit from the Word of God as we look in Ezekiel 34, verse 11, and then we will transition into the book of Judges once again and talk a little bit about how God is preparing His people to be used. And so in Ezekiel 34, 11, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." Hallelujah. I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. God is looking for His sheep. He is searching out those who are His own. And I would like to use as a theme today, ready to be found. Ready to be found. Are you ready to be found? Have you been fortified for the fight? Have you been made ready? Are you in the process of being molded and shaped by God so that He can use you to accomplish great things in your life? Well, I pray that you are today. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Well, Lord, we are thankful for your word, and we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us with the anointing that is required and needed to accomplish the things that you have called us to do. Help us, Lord, to be those who are in a state of readiness, that we would be able to be used of God as He is looking for those whom He can use. And we ask, God, that you would not only make us ready, but make us strong, fortified, so that no matter what comes against us, we would be able to stand, even with the full armor of God, with the strength of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pour out a fresh anointing upon your people. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, oh God. Amen and amen. Well, if we are going to be used by God, we must be in a state of readiness. We must be in a condition and in a mindset that will enable us to move in the flow of the Spirit of God, that we would be strengthened and that we would know how to be strong. You see, when the battle rages, it's too late to get ready. You must already be ready. And so when challenges and difficulties come upon our lives, whether it's coronavirus or whether it's sickness and diseases of other types, whether it's just the challenges of the situations of life that we find ourselves in, regardless of what they are, you need to already be ready to manage and handle and deal with what is coming. This is what the Word of God is all about. The Word of God is all about making us ready. We need to be ready for when Jesus returns. We need to be ready when the opportunity to testify or witness arises. We need to be ready when it's time to pray or lay hands on the sick, or when it's time to share a timely word. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for whatever it is that God needs to use us to accomplish, that the Holy Spirit would be able to work through us so that the will of God can be accomplished. In Judges 6:6, we see the story of Gideon as God uses him to bring victory to the Israelites over the Midianites. And it says here in verse 6, it says, "So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord." Well, saints of God, right off the bat, once you're in a predicament, there is no other way out but to cry to the Lord. And we must learn how to cry out to God when we're in situations that bring us low, that humble us, or that bring us to a place of lowliness. We need to be able to cry out to the Lord. If you do not cry out to the Lord, then deliverance will surely not come your way until you do. It's when you cry out to the Lord that the heart of God is touched, and God begins to hear that cry of repentance, that cry of yieldedness and surrender that we offer up to him as a type of offering. It says, "Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, and that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and disposed them before you and gave you their land.'" And so in this early passage, we see that God is establishing the fact that it is God who is the deliverer. You see, God is our deliverer today. It doesn't matter whether it's coronavirus or whatever the trouble of the day might be, God is our deliverer. And it doesn't matter how wise people may espouse themselves to be, or how much people do in making things done, God uses people to get things done. And just because God uses you to get something done does not mean that you have the right or the authority to rob God of the glory. You see, it is God who is at work. It is God who delivers and sets the captives free. And so as the Israelites learn this lesson in this time of Gideon, we can see that this is a pattern of their history. The pattern of the history of Israel is that they would find themselves in the midst of a particular culture, and then they would adapt to that culture. and they would find themselves becoming like the people that were around them, and that they would then find themselves compromising the ways and the will of God. This is the same issue and the problem that takes place in the lives of people today. There's this cycle of sinfulness, if you will. And this cycle is one that where the people are at peace and they have things are going well. And so they begin to fall away from the precepts and the word of the Lord. They fall away from obeying and doing what God has called them to do. And they become apathetic, and they find themselves in this place where they're compromising, and everything is kind of, you know, well, you know, that's the way it was, and, you know, now things are better. We don't need that right now. And there's all types of mindsets and mentalities that begin to form because the people have drifted away from God. This is the situation in America today. In fact, it is the condition of the world. The world has turned their back on God. The world has decided that that the Lord is not necessary in these days. And so there is this rebellion that has taken place. And I believe we're in a state of rebellion in our country. And certainly as you listen to some of the of these politicians as they speak, the arrogance and the vanity that comes forth in their presentations is just amazing how they refuse to give God any credit or acknowledge him. And I am amazed at how it is permeated society so much that people do not have faith in God. People do not consider the ways of the Lord. And even the church has adapted to the ways of the world. The church has a carnal mindset in its ways and in its operations. And many people who claim to be the children of God fail to live a Christian or biblical lifestyle. They don't call upon the name of the Lord. They don't give thanks. They don't have a sense of needing and trusting in God in their daily walk and decisions. We don't abide in his word. We don't meditate on it day and night. And we find ourselves with a mindset that parallels the world, this world of darkness where evil is at work, where Satan is the prince and the power of the air. And we fall into the mentality of the evil one. And so we see this pattern in Israel. This is what happened to them, and they would fall away from God, and they would suffer plagues, and all kinds of types of issues and all kinds of problems would come their way, and they would suffer, and they would begin to cry out, "Oh God, oh God, where are you? I thought we were your people." And this is what happens when bad things happen to so-called good people. And many people who see themselves as good, oh, I tell you, a lot of times things happen to people, and we say, oh, but they were such a nice people. It was such a nice guy. It was such a nice lady. You don't know how nice they were, because their niceness is in relationship to the Word of God. It's not about how nice they were in greeting people and interacting in niceties as you interact with them, but the niceties are related to the Word of God. Were they faithful to the Word of God? Are you faithful to the Word of God? During this season of coronavirus, it is an opportunity for people to get right with God. It is an opportunity for us to call upon the name of the Lord, to call out and say, God, forgive me for my sins. Lord, wash me and cleanse me that I may be made new. God, purge me with hyssop. Oh God, I need you. Deliver me from evil. This is what the needs are. And this is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for the people of the world to cry out to him and ask for forgiveness and for deliverance. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, then you shall be delivered. This is the promise of God. When we cry out to him, he will deliver us. He will make a way for us. He will respond to the cry of the people. If we would just acknowledge him in all our ways, He will direct our paths. He will bring peace upon the hearts and the minds of the people. This is what we see in Israel. This is what we see in the world. And when we cry out to God, God responds. And so in verse 10, it says, "And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites." And the Amorites were a people who came out of the same region as Abraham, and they are of the Canaanite family. And these guys, they were always a problem to the people of God. And the name Amorite means to utter or to say. They were actually glory seekers. They love to boast. And I'm sure you know people like this. They're always looking to make a name for themselves. They wanted to be seen as being great. And so that's who the Amorites were. And they were those who lived in the land. And so they kind of impacted the mentality of the Israelites. And it says, "In those whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me." And so often the people of God get sucked up into the controversies of the world simply because they fail to stay true to the Word of God. Staying true to the Word of God. I believe America is suffering because we have failed to stay true to the Word of God. And there's so much going on in the world because the world has failed to stay true to the Word of God. And so even in the midst of that, it is a historical fact that this is a consistent issue and a problem that repeats itself over and over again through history in one way or another. And in verse 11, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites." The Midianites, whenever the crops would grow and would come up, would attack and come in and steal all the crops. And they would essentially wait for the Israelites to do all the work. And as God prospered them, they would come in and rob them of what they had produced. And this happens even in the world today. Many Christians get robbed of the produce that God is, the fruitfulness of their lives, that God is producing in their lives, because the enemy comes in and Satan robs them. And the Word of God says that there are some who work and they do all kinds of things and to earn money only to put it in their pockets, which have holes in it. And God has the ability to stop up the holes. He has the ability to close up the holes so that your resources actually become fruitful. This is what happened to Israel because of their disobedience to God, because of their failure to remain faithful to the Word of God. They found themselves in oppression and bondage under the hand of the Midianites, who are now working against them. And so the angel of the Lord appears and he says to Gideon, and he says, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And I find it interesting that he immediately says the Lord is with him and calls him a valiant warrior. And Gideon says to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And this is actually a fact, and it is true that it was the Lord who gave them up into the hand of Midian. And so the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Hallelujah. I love this because it just goes to show you that when God shows up, get ready to be used. He doesn't show up for nothing. If God arises in your life, if God shows up in your life, then that means he's got a job for you to do. There is something you need to be about that you ought to be accomplishing in your life. God has a plan. And so the Lord, knowing that Gideon's heart was right, as he made the wheat and he prepared all of the crops that his family needed, God was preparing him in that process to be used. God wants to use you even as you do the common everyday things that you do. The things that you do for a living, the things that you do to support your family, the things that you do to take care of yourself, God wants to use you in that process. And as you are perfected in that process, God is going to be able to use you for even greater things. When you're faithful with the few things, he can make you ruler over many. And so he says, go in your strength. And then he says to him, oh, Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. You see, it doesn't matter what your position is, your birth order. I know psychologists and psychiatrists, they deal with the elements and the aspects of a person's birth order to help understand their personality a little bit better. But I tell you, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and the Spirit of the Lord has a plan and a purpose for your life, it doesn't matter whether you're the firstborn, the middle child, or whether you're the baby in the bunch. It does not matter. God will raise you up and use you for his own glory. You see, God wants to use him because he was made ready. He was ready to be used. He said, I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So often we feel that we can't do it. We don't have what it takes. But I can tell you that if the Lord is with you, you can defeat any adversary. You can overcome any obstacle, any problem, any issue, because the Lord your God is with you. And so Gideon says to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. And just like anybody else, Gideon wants to make sure that he's dealing with God, that it's the Spirit of God. He wants to make sure that the Lord is with him, that this angel is an angel of the Lord. Maybe the angel doesn't look like an angel. He didn't show up with wings and a bright white outfit on and standing there saying, behold, I am the angel of the Lord. No, he showed up and it looked like he was talking to an average everyday person. He couldn't distinctively tell that this was an angel of the Lord. And so he's looking for some proof. And so in verse 18, it says, please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering. The offering it's the word mina, and it means the grain or the meal offering. It's the bread offering. It's what we see, the picture of Christ. You know, in communion, we have the bread and we have the wine. And so the bread represents the meal offering, which represents a bodily sacrifice. It represents giving yourself, your physical body, for the purposes of doing the will of God or accomplishing the will of God. Now, this is what the grain offering was all about. And it was sprinkled with a little salt and a little oil. Hallelujah. Isn't that nice? Who wants to eat anything without a little salt and a little oil? Something to blend it together, to add flavoring to it, to make it taste nice. Hallelujah. And so this is what the Lord had part of his plan in presenting the sacrifice, a little salt and a little oil. I remember sitting at the restaurant one time, an Italian restaurant, and they had the bread. You know how they bring you the bread, and they have the oil with the pepper, a little salt in there. You can put a little salt and pepper together, and you swish it around together, and then you... Oh, it's delicious. Oh, it's just wonderful. Well, that's kind of what this sacrifice was like, this grain offering. And it means it's the lasting consecration to God's covenant. And the oil represents of course, the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Holy Spirit and the promise of the covenant, or our faithfulness to the covenant of God, comes together. And this is what this offering is all about. And Gideon is consecrating himself to God. Gideon is consecrating himself before the angel of the Lord. And he lays it down before him and he says, I will remain until you return. And so he puts this down and he goes to prepare this offering for the angel of the Lord. And in Romans 12:1, this reminds me of this passage. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Hallelujah. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. God wants you to prove what the will of the Lord is by renewing your mind. Change the way you think. This is what the angel is helping Gideon to accomplish. He is bringing him to that place. And Gideon doesn't get proud and puffed up and say, yes, I'm great in the name of the Lord. God is going to use me. How awesome am I? No, that's not what he does. What does he do? He says, God, I'm going to wait here while I prepare an offering. Wait here while I prepare the grain offering and I begin to prepare the meal offering, which often has a little meat with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nothing like a little meat with your grain offering. Hallelujah. So praise God. It says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you that not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. So God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Well, I pray that you have sound judgment. This is what the Holy Spirit is working out. This is what the grain offering is working out in your life. As we meditate on the Word of God, as we listen and receive the Word of the Lord, it enables us to be transformed so that our bodies can be used of God to bring forth his testimony. In verse 19, it says of Joshua 6, then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. Hallelujah. He made a little stew. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about that stew. He's there. He's cooking it up there and he brings it out. And the angel of God says to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And so he takes the meat and the meat and he takes the unleavened bread. And that means it's a picture of the body, the bodily sacrifice. The meat and the bread is yielded before God, laying it on the rock. Well, we know the rock is Jesus. Jesus is the rock. And he is the very bread of life. And he lived his life humbly before everyone in a way that was yielded and sacrificed before God so that the glory of God could be brought forth out of his life. If you want the glory of God to come forth out of your life, you must yield yourself. You must surrender your life. You must sacrifice yourself and say, God, use me. Have your way in my life. And then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I say this represents the anointing of the Spirit of God, the power of God. When you sacrifice yourself before the Lord, when you yield yourself to God, when you say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, when you begin to align yourself with God, when you begin to obey and do what the will of the Lord is, when you follow the directions of the Holy Spirit and you move according to the promises and the word of God, according to the covenant of God, then then the fire of God will be birthed in you. You will become alive in Christ. You will have joy in the Lord. You will have the fruit of the Spirit. You will have the anointing of God. He will flow. He will move. He will stir you. You will have all that you need to face whatever it is the world brings your way. God wants to use you today. God wants to prepare you so that you will be able to handle whatever the situations that you are about to face will be. God wants to prepare us. And so when the angel of the Lord vanished, it says that when Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he had an epiphany. He had an awakening. He realized this really was the angel of the Lord. And he says, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Hallelujah. "And the Lord said to him, 'Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die.'" Hallelujah. Don't you like those words? Hallelujah. "Peace to you. You shall not die." I pray the life of God would come upon you as you align yourself with the word of God. Breathe in the word of God. Allow the will of God to be accomplished. Let the anointing and the presence of God, the fullness of his Spirit, fill your house and your life, and allow God's presence to consume you and hear the word of the Lord. Peace to you. Do you fear? Do you feel oppressed? God says, do not fear, and do not be afraid. You shall not die. The life of God will be birthed in you when you align yourself with the covenant of the Lord. The people of Israel were in rebellion against God, and God is using Gideon to bring restoration, to lead the people back into a place of obedience. I pray that you're leading the people in your house back to a place of obedience. I pray that you are restoring the people of your house and enabling them to be reconciled to God. If you're a backslider, if you're someone who has been apathetic, if you have been kind of just taking things for granted, know that you need the promises of God fulfilled in your life. Know that you need to hear from God, that he is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or imagine if you place your faith and trust in his word and align yourself to the will of God. Gideon, he built an altar there. He built an altar to the Lord, and he named it, "The Lord is Peace," Jehovah Shalom. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Bezerites. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in Ezekiel 34, we see 11, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep. I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day." God wants to restore his people, to draw in the people of God. He says, "I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams, and in all the inhabited places of the land." Hallelujah. "I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground and feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel." Hallelujah. "I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest," declares the Lord God. I pray that you are experiencing the peace of God, the rest of God, and that you are able to know him in the power of his presence, that you are able to be steadfast in your faith in God. I pray that you know him and that you understand that he will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 16 says, "I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment." Oh, that represents those who are self-righteous and those who feel that they don't need the Lord. They can do without God. They're just fine the way they are. I pray that you're not among the fat and the strong. I pray that you are among those who the Lord is looking to use, looking to bring back, those who were possibly scattered, or you were out in a place, and we're all scattered. We're all in our homes, and we're all held down and held back because of coronavirus. But God says he has come to bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. And so I pray that if you are broken and that if you are in a place of sickness today, that you will hear the word of the Lord, that he is seeking for the lost and that he desires to strengthen you and to bind up your brokenness and bring deliverance to you. In Judges 6, 24 to 27, it says, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abarzeeth. Now, on the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down. And we know that the burnt offering is what? To draw closer to God. It's for the purpose of drawing closer to God. And so we see that the Lord is directing him to build this altar and to set up a place of offering so that he can draw closer to God. I pray that you are drawing closer to God today. I pray that you are like Gideon, who is drawing closer to God, who is taking advantage of the opportunity. This is the time. This is the season. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. We should be reconciled and restored in the ways of the Lord, in the will of God, and aligning ourselves so that we can be filled with the fire of the Spirit of the Lord. Well, Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. Well, it doesn't matter when you do it, as long as you do it when God says do it, as long as you do what the Lord says to do. And Gideon, he didn't go alone, but he took 10 men. 10 men. I believe that means that he took the number of completeness, of wholeness, a number of men that he needed to get the job done. I pray that you have the help you need to get the job done, that you have people around you that can help you to do what God has called you to do, to align yourself with the will and the word of God, that you would consecrate yourself and restore yourself back to the covenant of God, the new covenant, the new testament of Christ. In verse 30 of Judges 6, it says, then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it. In other words, bring out your son. He did what God told him to do. He did what the will of the Lord was, what the word of God was. And we don't want to obey the Lord. We don't want to do what the will of God is. So bring out your son so that we can kill him, actually. Hallelujah. And there are many people who want to stop you from doing the will of God. They want to stop you from being faithful and obedient to the word of God. They want to stop you from receiving the word and from being able to be faithful. They don't want you to come to church. They don't want you to read your Bible and pray. They don't want you to talk about Jesus. They don't want you to share the love of God and the faith that you have. They want it all to be left outside so that they can carry on according to the way of the heathen. I would submit to you that you be faithful to God. You stay strong and stay firm according to the word of the Lord. In verse 31, it says, but Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is God, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Hallelujah. I love this. This is fantastic because it says exactly what needed to be said. If Baal is God, then let Baal come and fight for himself. And so often we have people who want to debate and argue over things. I say, let Baal contend for himself. Hallelujah. We will be faithful to God and we will do what the will of the Lord is. He says in verse 32, therefore, on that day, he named him Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him because he had torn down his altar. And so we see that he got a new name. The new name is, well, let him wrestle with Baal. Let Baal come after him. Well, we know that that name didn't stick because Gideon was a man of God. He was the man who was blessed of the Lord, just like you and I. You and I who call upon the name of the Lord, we are blessed of the Lord, and the hand of God is with you. And so in verse 33, all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Jezreel means the Lord sows, the Lord scatters. Hallelujah. Well, God is gathering all these people together. He's bringing them all together, and then God is going to scatter them. And that's exactly what happened as Gideon came in. God used Gideon to sow and scatter. Hallelujah. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. Saints of God, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is with you, that you are able to blow a trumpet in Zion. You are able to sound the alarm of the holy mountain, that the glory of God is in the midst, and that God has called us for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 34:11 says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. Saints of God, the Lord is looking for you. He's looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few good women. The Lord is seeking out his own. Do you want to be used by God? Do you want to be restored and healed and raised up and prepared for whatever it is that is coming your way? Well, I pray that you would align yourselves with the promises of God, with the covenant of God, with the word of God. I pray that you would even be, as the word of God says, that you would be able to know the peace of God. In 6:23 of Judges, it says, the Lord said, peace to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Saints of God, when you're faithful to his word, when you're true to the hand of God, and you're obeying his word, and you're doing all that he's called you to do, you will not fear. You will be able to stand firm and stand strong. You will live, and you will not die. God will enable you. He will strengthen you. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid, nor let it be fearful. God is with you. God is able. Are you ready to be found, saints of God? Are you ready? Have you been fortified for the fight? I pray that you are established in God, that you are ready to accomplish all that he has for you, that you will know the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God, that there is fire shut up in your bones, and that there is an anointing of the Spirit of the Lord flowing and moving in the midst of your life, and that you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, because God has made you ready. The Spirit of the Lord has made you ready. You have surrendered yourself, your whole life to God, and said, Lord, here am I, use me. And I pray that he has responded. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Be fortified for the fight. Amen.
Your love is everlasting, it's an everlasting love. Your mercy is as new as every rising of the sun. And your loving kindness, better than life.
Come on, let's go to the chorus, here we go.
Oh, it's better than life. Oh, so much better.
are ready. I pray that you are ready for God to use you, that you are in a mindset and in a place where the Holy Spirit is washing over you. If you are sick or you are feeling oppressed or you are just feeling down and oppressed over all of this that's going on, I pray that you would call upon the name of the Lord. And we are going to pray right now, and we're going to ask the Spirit of God to prevail in your life. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we rebuke the devourer. And we come against every hindering spirit and every foul thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth. And I pray that the word of God would come alive in the hearts and the minds of your people, that they would hear your word and that their minds would be ignited, that they would be renewed in their minds, and that they would be fortified in their strength of their spirit, and that they would have life breathed into them. I pray, oh God, for the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord, that even as we sacrifice ourselves for the purpose of accomplishing the will of God, that you, oh Lord, would rise up within us, bring forth healing, bring forth life, bring forth strength. Under the strength and the power of the anointing of the Spirit of God, arise. I pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you as you go. And I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will continue to ignite fire within your bones, that your anointing would be strong and strengthened more and more day by day for the glory of God. Amen? Amen and amen. God bless you. And we'll be seeing you in just a few more weeks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey!
Love and kindness better than life.